Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
So, a very brief talk on the Gate of Sweet Nectar, just to give you a sense of the history of it. It began with a liturgy which started out with a chant, and it was called the Kanroman. And originally, when translated, it was the Ambrosia Gate. And this came to the U.S. from Japan. And here it was translated into the Gate of Sweet Nectar. Now in Japan, it was part of a Buddhist service for people who left, people who went to war, people who were in hell. And so going back to Zen Center of Los Angeles, when Bernie Glassman received Dharma Transition from Maizumi, he asked Maizumi if he could do a translation of this from the Japanese. And this was because even when it was performed in Japanese, he was touched by it. And I sort of share that same sentiment because every time I hear it, it moves me in some way. It's a very powerful chant. And so Bernie became a Dharma successor to Roshi Glassman and went to Bernie and asked if he could do this translation. And Maizumi said to him, he gave him permission to do it and opened the gate to do it however he wanted to do it. And the two of them worked on translating the Gate of Sweet Nectar, the Ambrosia Gate, word by word, line by line, trying to maintain the essence of it. And it became one of the chants in the chant service in ZCLA. So it was an adaptation of the traditional Soto Zen Kanroman. And interestingly, though, the translation also incorporated elements from other traditions. And this would include Jewish liturgy, the Theravada Buddhist loving kindness tradition. And it is expressing, as we go through it from back then until it came east, that it was an expression of an evolving social vision in American Zen, and pretty much started around Bernie. Now, this came from, I watched a thing where he was questioned, and I've read some stuff, and so I'm going to ask for a little latitude, but I think this is giving the essence of it. There were some parts of it that I didn't really understand, so I left those out. So anyway, it was described, I don't know whether this was by Bernie or not, but as an example of transmission, translation, and transformation of Buddhism in an American social and religious setting. So there are cultural and religious influences on that. And they're used in a way in which Bernie created the American version, the Gate of Sweet Nectar. And it's similar to what I've mentioned millions of times, is that this is, the Kanroman was something that was chanted in Japan in the monasteries. And by doing this, this is an example of taking Zen practice out of the temple and into everyday life. And that's what he was doing. So when he left ZCLA to start the Zen Center of New York, he took this translation with him. And when he got here, how many of you are familiar with the writer Peter Matheson? Yeah, a very well-known author. And one of his famous books is The Snow Leopard. And it's about a trek up into the Himalayas in search of the snow leopard. But it was also, it wasn't just a trek or a hike. It was actually had very deep spiritual meaning. And so he asked Peter, who later became a Dharma successor, if he would help him make it easier to receive in our culture. And because, you know, Peter Matheson was a writer, he was able to help in a more, I don't know, clear or sensitive, or the way in which a writer would express something. He helped Bernie to do that. So he brought this to the East with him, and this became a standard part of the liturgy, of the chanting at Zen Center of New York. So its translation deepened in 1978 when Bernie had a very powerful experience of feeding hungry spirits, spirits whose desire is for something like money, food, love, fame, which are pretty much unaccomplishable. And even if they are accomplished, they still involve suffering because the level of attachment to these things. And so those of us who have lived this in our lives are hungry spirits. And you could say that all of us, in one way or another, hungry spirits, that we live a life unfulfilled and in many ways are attached to what we have not been given. And of course, that affects the whole rest of our lives. So the way in which the Gate of Sweet Nectar evolved was that it was an expression of love and compassion for the suffering of others, for all of us hungry ghosts, hungry spirits. So after this experience, Bernie made a vow to dedicate the rest of his life in service of the hungry spirits. Now, interestingly enough, this was very ecumenical because it wasn't just focused on the Buddhist world. It included the hungry spirits in the world of Catholicism, Judaism, for rich people, poor people, criminals, and so forth. Everybody was included, which reminds me, I might have mentioned this story once before, but when Roshi Kennedy was, he was a Dharma successor of Bernie and out in Los Angeles, and Bernie announced that he was going to make Roshi a Dharma successor, there were a couple of the, I don't know if they were senseis, but there were a number of people who came to him and were concerned or upset that he was making a Catholic a sensei in the Zen tradition. And in this spirit, Bernie said to him, "Is it all one or not?" So the utilization of this sense of oneness led to this life that we know a lot about now, which was to serve everyone, and became his practice, his dedication. And I know from having studied with him for maybe 3 or 4 years at ZCNY, I could see this evolving and how it went from, I have to take latitude with my words, but sort of the standard Buddhist center to much more involved with social activism and the service of others outside of the Zen Center of New York. And then you know about all the different programs that Bernie created. He went further because this was coming out of the Buddhist tradition and he was opening it to everybody. Now, for us who practice, you know, we can identify with this. We can understand this experience. But he asked the question, how can I make the service comfortable for all religions? How can I make it comfortable for people who aren't religious? How can I make it open to everyone? And he continued this process. until the day he died. So you can see over time, this Kanroman became the gate of sweet nectar, and then just went like this, right? It started like this in terms, it was a Buddhist thing. And then through Bernie's translation, Bernie and Maizumi's translation, it became bigger and bigger and bigger until it included everything. Until it was, it's either all or it's not. So that's a very brief history of the gate of sweet nectar. So I'm really glad that we do it here because it's very touching. And even as I say that, I feel myself being moved. So those of us who have a chance to chant it, it's really an honor. It's really a gift. Where's Jerry? But the rest of us. And if anybody would like to lead the chant, please, if you're moved by it, it's not the perfection with which you chant it, but the spirit in which you chant it. Anybody who would like to do that, just see me. It's wide open. It's open for everyone.